Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
When there are hurts that go on in the heart and there is anger that goes on in the heart, the longer you allow that to abide, the wider your plan of destruction becomes.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the scripture says about Shimei and bitterness. This message was recorded at a chapel service in 2006. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, bitterness.
Today I'm going to deal with authority-related bitterness. And I'm going to take the Bible character Shimei. Oftentimes we don't think of Shimei, but I don't think there is a better case study in bitterness, in particularly in authority-related bitterness, than we have in the character Shimei. 2 Samuel chapter 16. There's a lot of history that leads up to this. We are familiar with David's sin and the fact of the prophet Nathan telling David that he was the man. David acknowledged, he instantly repented. There was a restoration to fellowship with God, but also a reaping began. David significantly passed his own judgment. When Nathan said, "What should I do with this man?" And David passed the judgment, that judgment that he passed on that one supposedly who had stolen this one man's sheep for a party, began to unfold in David's reaping process. And what a lesson in life. God's amazing grace does restore us to fellowship. Thank God the sin issue is settled. But certain choices lead to certain reaping from a human standpoint. If I get drunk and get in a fight and lose my eye in a fight and I get right, I'm a one-eyed Christian. God doesn't restore the eye. There's a certain reaping. If I get involved in certain things that demand certain consequences, there is going to be that reaping. But yet the anchored relationship is firmly fixed. We lead up to a situation here where David has been replaced by his own son, Absalom, who came up with this plot to overtake the throne of his father. The bitterness in the heart of Absalom spread so widely. We see the bitterness that came, and I think there is a very deep cause for Absalom's bitterness, and I think it's related back to his father-son relationship. For example, 5 years of not seeing his father's face. 3 years while David was in flight, Absalom had to leave the city. And then Absalom came back into the city and began to make the moves to usurp the throne of his father. He encircled around him others who had hearts for self-promotion and hearts for bitterness against the God-placed authority. David then, by the counsel of Uncle Joab, is seeing the fulfillment of a plan to get Absalom back to the city. But Absalom was back to the city for 2 years, and his father's bitterness and his father's deep hurt, I think, only fueled the bitterness within Absalom. And Absalom then begins to get this plot. I believe this thing could have been averted had David done more in 5 years than a cold, formal, so-called kiss of forgiveness. And what a lesson that is for us. When there are hurts that go on in the heart and there is anger that goes on in the heart, the longer you allow that to abide, the wider your plan of destruction becomes. You can let things boil within you. You can get so angry that you literally dry up physically. So Absalom goes on this rampage, and then David ends up fleeing the city himself. Now, a perfect opportunity for Shimei. Because 23 years boiling within Shimei was this bitter anger because he could not accept God's plan for who was going to be king. 23 years after Saul was replaced and Shimei was in Saul's household, Shimei saw personal loss. Shimei, one of these servants who was interested only in personal gain, he could see that he had lost everything. He could not say a word. Because had he said a word against the king in that circumstance, he would have lost even more opportunities. But now that Absalom, the king's own son, begins to rebel and David then begins to flee, Shimei sees the perfect opportunity to express the bitterness that had been boiling in him for 23 years. We pick up the story in 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 1. And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba. Well, there's a character too. We don't have time to park there, but Ziba is one of those servants who used gifts and flattery to get what he wanted. In fact, you'll find later the curse of Shimei, David handled better than the praises and the gifts of this deceitful Ziba. And be always careful when people are communicating, when you feel you're being manipulated. There are people who have an agenda, and they will come with praise and with this and that, but you feel underneath there's an agenda, some type of an agenda that ultimately will end in personal gain. Such is the case here with Ziba. I don't have time to bark there. But we find when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him. You remember who Mephibosheth was, the one who was crippled by a fall, the one who was left as a survivor. The nurse was running with him when he was a baby. The nurse stumbled, and Mephibosheth was dropped and ended up to be a cripple. And one of the great stories of God's grace and the picture of salvation in the Old Testament is David sending to have Mephibosheth come to become one of his own sons, trying to find someone who could be to whom he could show grace from the household of Saul. That is a tremendous story of God's grace and redemption in the Old Testament. Mephibosheth met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread and 100 bunches of raisins, hundreds of summer fruits, a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, what meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, the asses be for the king's household to ride on, the bread for summer fruit, for the young men to eat, and wine as such that be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, where is thy master's son? In other words, where's Mephibosheth? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abideth in Jerusalem. For he said, today shall the house of Israel be restored to the kingdom of my father. That was a lie. He told David misinformation. Remember this, God gave us 2 years to hear both sides of an argument. And David, in this situation, he was so grateful for the thoughtfulness of the food that was given that he did not think on this story that Ziba was telling him when he said, where's Mephibosheth? He should be here. Well, Ziba was working Mephibosheth's land. Mephibosheth couldn't work the land because he was crippled. Well, Ziba took advantage of this. And he built this for self-promotion. Basically, he wanted that possession that was Mephibosheth. And the king said in verse 3, where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. For he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me to the kingdom of my father. In other words, he said, Mephibosheth knows everything's going back. You're going to lose the kingdom. He decided to stay in Jerusalem. Then the king said to Ziba, behold, thine are all that pertaineth unto Mephibosheth. That is exactly what Ziba was looking for. I'm going to praise this king. I'm going to butter him up. I am going to get him set. I'm give him gifts. And Deuteronomy has a tremendous lesson. Gifts blind people and pervert judgment. I always tell preacher boys, you be careful when you take a pastorate of whom you receive gifts. Because along with many gifts becomes a tremendous hook called control. And you will find the one who meets you at the plane when you candidate will be at the train when you leave. And here we find that These gifts there were perverting David's clear thinking. And the king said, "Behold, all that pertaineth unto Mephibosheth." And Ziba said, "I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king." Now, on the scene here comes Shimei, boiling for 23 years with anger, boiling with this bitterness within him. And he sees his chance. David is now on the run. In verse 5, "And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gerar, and he came forth and cursed still as he came." Now, bitterness has a deeper cause here. What was the cause that Shimei had? Well, number one, there was a jealousy. In verse 5, "And when the king came to Bahurim, behold, there came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gerar, and he came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and all the servants of King David and all the people, and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left." Now, what was the factor here? When he was in the house of Saul, he was in position for promotion. He was in position for personal gain. And when he saw this David coming on, the jealousy that built within his heart for not having what could have been there before. And this was building. There are five levels of anger. When you look at the thought of anger, and it starts first with a mild irritation. Anger starts, you're mildly irritated. And it could have been a family situation, could have been a situation with dad, could have been whatever kind of a thing. When you're in pastoral role, this can happen also. You become mildly irritated. And then indignation that comes when you see the thing. So it goes from mild irritation to indignation, from indignation to wrath. Wrath becomes this thumos, this, it begins to boil out. You will often see this in annual church business meetings. Back before television and back before internet, the most exciting thing used to happen for teens was the annual church business meeting. Because old brother so-and-so, who had been boiling all year long about something within, suddenly spews. Well, the mild irritation went to indignation, and then it spewed out in wrath. In some cases, it turns to fury and then rage. So you have irritation, indignation, wrath, fury, and rage. I was called into counsel a situation where the pastor was being asked to resign, and a great move was organized against that pastor. And I think there were some issues where the pastor had not exercised wisdom. But in a Wednesday night service, one man got up in the service and came up and wrapped his arms around the pulpit. He said, "I gave this pulpit to this church, and when I leave, this pulpit is going with me." Pastor was coming down the aisle. One of the other deacons took his fist and plowed him right in the face. He had to be taken to the hospital. State police squad cars had to come and join this time of fellowship among the believers there. And the whole group, boy, the city loves to see Christians in that sort of a thing. And amazingly enough, I could not believe that when they were without a pastor, they called and asked me for a recommendation for pastor in that church. And I found a youth pastor in Chicago who had kids in his youth group with guns. I knew he could handle a situation. And but you see that happening. You'll see it over and over and over and over and over again. And God spared that ministry, and now that ministry is prospering so greatly because of the flow that has come out. But the deeper causes, a jealousy, lack of commitment to God's place. Another cause of this bitterness. He could not satisfy himself with the fact that God chose David to be king. Sometimes you get in a ministry and you become dissatisfied with that. And then self-gain. I covered that earlier. He was already thinking under Saul, he had it made. And he was going to be in a position for further gain. And then the authority, he could not accept basic authority. A whole side study on this authority in relationship to bitterness is Korah. You may want to study that, and we may do one chapel on that as well, because with Korah, you remember, he started out as a griping soloist, ended up with a 250-voice choir. And it was he was a quality person and recruited 250 quality princes in this cause. They were quarrelsome people, and they were not accepting God's authority and the man that had been placed there. And how did it show? Korah took on God's anointed one, Aaron, took on God's visible authority, and then later in that chapter, they literally take on the Almighty. And that's always the progression. You take on the visible authority, you take on the anointed one, and then you ultimately take on the authority. And God had to come in and show who was in charge. You remember the budding rod, you remember the splitting of the earth, where this 250-voice choir went down in, and the ground closed on them. A whole nother side study in relationship to this matter of bitterness. Now, we look at not only does it have a deeper cause, we fail to see God's purpose. We see, secondly, that it leads to irrational conduct. Now, this is what you will see when you get into pastoral work. You will see people thinking, what was he thinking? The actions don't make sense. Now, let's pick this up again in verse 5 at the end. And Shimei came forth and cursed still as he came. He was cursing the king, a direct violation of God's law. It was a direct cutting back of the clear-cut command that God had in Exodus chapter 22 and verse 28, thou shalt not curse the leader of the people. Shimei was cursing. Not only was he cursing, he was casting stones. I mean, can you imagine the boldness that he would have? Here's King David, and he's cursing the king in violation to Mosaic law. Now he is casting stones at the king. Where he did it was irrational. He did it in the presence of David's mighty men. Now, what about David's mighty men? They wiped out Philistines for aerobics on the way home from work. And Abishai, look down in verse 9, just to give you an example. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go, I pray thee, and take his head off. See, we had people here who had a serious mode of counseling. He had some ideas. He said, David, come here. Let me take the dead dog's head off. But bitterness gets you so blinded, you cannot think clearly. I mean, he had no idea what was coming. And it would be good, as you're going through your Bible reading this year, to study through the mighty men of David and see what were some of the feats that they have. 1 Samuel 26, 2 Samuel 19, 2 Samuel 23, particularly regarding Abishai, what he did and how many Philistines he would kill at one time. Then we see that bitterness rejoices in the misfortunes of others. In the midst of all of this, in verse six, he cast stones at David and at servants of the king David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei, when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the house, the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. He was just tickled pink at the misfortune of the king. You better be careful what you secretly wish regarding an individual against whom you have an issue. You better be careful, because there is an eternal accountability for that. And here he found himself rejoicing that this situation came upon his person. Because what happens, he is thinking, now that this misfortune has happened to this person, now I can get what I really have wanted all along. I can get that authority. I can get, nobody will be in my way. Nobody will affect my agenda. And I will finally get that individual out of my way. And secretly rejoiced, but he was externally rejoicing that there was a mess that David was facing. David knew he was reaping what he had sown. David knew that gracious God was still going to be his protector. David manifested an awesome amount of grace when you look at how he is fleeing. Just read the conversations of what he is telling the men who are following him. And even the ark, he said, no, put the ark back. By God's grace, I'll be back to Jerusalem. Don't bring the ark. The priests, go back. These others, he was so sensitive to those under his authority. You read in the preceding chapters here, what a lesson that is even of itself. And the misfortunes of others. And then false accusations. David was not guilty of the blood of the household of Saul. Although, if you read 1 Samuel 27, 28, 29, and 30, you will find that David came very close, because he dropped his focus from God. He became very close to be in head at the Philistine troops, being the head of the battle where Saul and Jonathan were slain. Only by God's sovereign protection was David protected from being at the head of the battle, fighting for the Philistines against God's people. And that battle is where Saul and Jonathan died. So David came close, but God preserved him from that. David grieved for months and months after Saul and Jonathan died. What do you think he would have felt had he been the one responsible for this? You'll see that in 1 Samuel 27, 28, 29, and 30. And he called him a bloody man. Those of you raised in Christian families, and those of you have seen these fights, those of you who have been raised particularly in leaders' homes, you know what these false accusations are. False accusations regarding handling of finances. False accusations regarding all of these things along the line. And you just have to sit and take it. And then it is two-faced. It submerges and surfaces when convenient. Go quickly to chapter 19 of 2 Samuel, and you will see what I mean here. There's three phases here. Number one, David is fleeing. Number two, David is returning. And then later we see David dying. But we're going to cover, just to show in chapter 19, David's return, what happened. Now, David is coming back to Jerusalem. He is coming back to the throne. And look in verse 14 of 2 Samuel 19. And he bowed the heart of all the men of Judah, even as the heart of one man, so that they sent his word unto the king, return thou and all thy servants. In other words, David, come back. So the king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. So Judah goes and says, I'm going to lead you back over. And look in verse 16, and Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which was a Bahurim, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet the king. So here comes this two-face, so-called, oh, king, come back. We are so welcome, because he knew he was in trouble. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him. So another phase of this is it infects others. Bitterness infects others. Now, 1,000 men came with Shimei. That's the kind of a following that he had garnered. You find that also in number 16 when you talk about Korah. He started out as a lone, discontent griper. 250 quality men found him. You will find bitter people, people who have other agendas, will have ability to get followings and infected others. You'll see Hebrews 12, bitterness, a warning there. And then 2 Samuel 19, verse 17, And we see there he came, kind of two-faced. And then let me close with this. It restricts and limits. Now, I want to show you that I'm not, I think I'm kind of preaching to the choir today. And I've used this in counseling. I've done this in youth conferences for many, many. I don't think I've ever preached on this in chapel. I've made allusion to this. But I have seen so many times that bitter people restrict themselves and limit themselves on what they can do in life. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 2 and examine. David now is in the phase of dying. We saw David fleeing. We saw David returning. Now we see David in the process of dying. He is meeting with all those who were special to him. He was giving particularly guidelines, particularly to Solomon, his son, as far as taking charge from there. In chapter 2 of 1 Kings and verse 1, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth, be thou strong therefore, and show thyself a man. That's a text in itself. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his judgments, testimonies, and it is written in the law of Moses that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. And then he goes through the list of people of those who had been related to him, had been his helpers, Joab, Abner, Amasa, Barzillai. And then look in verse 8, and behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gera. David is dying now. Some years after these incidents. And he said, behold, Solomon, you've got that Shimei.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olola speaking on bitterness. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.